From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. The first 10-candidate debate of the 2004 Democratic presidential contest takes place tomorrow. Wesley Clark, the retired general who got into the race last week, joins the other 9 candidates. Clark has never run for elective office before. In fact, it was only a few weeks ago that he announced his party affiliation. And although he has rocketed to the top of some polls, Clark is experiencing some difficulties. NPR's Mara Liasson reports that that's typical of first-time candidates, especially those who start by aiming for the very top.
My name is Wes Clark. I am from Little Rock, Arkansas, and I'm here to announce that I intend to seek the presidency of the United States of America.
Retired General Wesley Clark has only been running for president for a week, but he's already shaken up the Democratic field. In his announcement speech, Clark issued the classic battle cry of the political outsider.
And we're going to talk straight to the American people, because in times of great historic challenges, the American people deserve to hear the truth and hear it in plain and simple language.
But talking straight has been tricky for Clark, despite his impressive debut. Many Democrats, dissatisfied with the rest of the field, have invested their hopes and dreams in Clark, the telegenic anti-war general and Rhodes Scholar. In the latest CNN Gallup poll, he is the top choice of Democrats, and he's beating President Bush by 3 percentage points. No one puts much stock in this kind of early survey, but as a blank slate, Clark has been doing great. It's when he's tried to fill in the blanks that he's stumbled. First, there was his answer, or answers, to the easily anticipated question, how would you have voted on the resolution authorizing the Iraq War? First, Clark said he would have voted yes. The next day, he said he would have voted no. Fred Greenstein, a presidential scholar at Princeton University, says that's a classic first-timer's mistake.
I think that the very process of suddenly deciding that, I might as well be president, to do that, it seems to me you have to have a certain amount of the kind of ego that may not be accompanied with a sense of caution or humbleness or with very good reality checks. Then you get these people who are really accustomed to running private businesses or a non-political military figure, and they rapidly put their foot or their boot in their mouth.
Clark has had to backtrack from other statements. In June, he told Tim Russert of NBC's Meet the Press that after 9/11, there was an effort to link the attacks to Saddam Hussein.
By Hussein.
Who did that?
Well, it came from the White House. It came from people around the White House. It came from all over. I got a call on 9/11. I was on CNN, and I got a call at my home saying, you got to say this is connected. This is state-sponsored terrorism. This has to be connected to Saddam Hussein. And I said, but I'm willing to say it, but what's your evidence? And I never got any evidence. And these were people who were Middle East think tanks and people like this. I mean, there was a lot of pressure to connect this.
2 months later, Clark issued a statement saying that he wanted to correct any misinterpretation of his remarks. He said he was never asked by the White House to link Saddam Hussein to 9/11. A lot of the same pitfalls Clark is encountering were present in the campaign of Ross Perot, who also launched his maiden bid for elective office with a run for the White House. Gerald Posner, author of Citizen Perot, says it's almost impossible to imagine the intensity of the spotlight if you've never run before.
That what you say is not only on the record, but it is picked apart by political pundits in a way that neophytes are never accustomed to. That drove Perot, who was not in a position of ever being questioned by any of those who worked with him in his own companies, crazy. Clark, who's used to, in the military at least, giving orders and having them followed, may also find it quite disconcerting not only to be analyzed so carefully, but also to be challenged by a very aggressive political press.
Another eye-opener for amateurs at politics is just how professional the undertaking is. Often people who've been very successful in other fields think they can wing it. General Clark, for example, met many of his top campaign aides for the first time just a day or two before he announced his candidacy. But now, Clark is probably learning that a political campaign takes just as much meticulous preparation as the aerial assault on Serbia. Mara Liasson, NPR News, Washington.